happy Friday to you. It was a happy Thursday if you like high school football in the state of South Carolina, because we got some. I got some. Rob Williams got some. We hope that you got out to a game. And if you didn't, we hope that you were at least on X chopping it up with us, asking us what's wrong with South Florence. Where has Union County's defense gone? We'll talk about that and more on today's show. I am Matt Smith. That is Rob Williams. You will find us here every Friday, and you find us every day at fourquarterfriday.com and the Varsity Club message board. For the second time in as many weeks, we've got games on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe Monday. We don't know what's going on yet. No problem. We like games. We like players. We like debates. We like chopping it up with you. We'll do that for the next hour. It is an action-packed hour that will include Dorman Burns preview with Cole Bryson. We've got an interview with Derek Howard, Ridgeview head coach, ahead of the Blazers' big game with Dutch Fork, and we've got recaps from last night. All of that is coming up. We'll try to squeeze it in within the hour. Rob, we got to get started quickly. Good morning to you, man. And it's like, I don't know how much we turn the page. We'll turn it right now and we'll look ahead to the big games. But I know you know, boots on the ground last night, Greer Union. We were all over X giving the updates for that one. That was a stinker. That was no good. I had a slightly better game, but it seemed like the place to be might have been Gilbert at EC Flora.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Smitty. Yeah, it was, first of all, good morning. Happy to be here, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, and proudly coming to you from the Hewitt Domodiros Law Studios, hdlawsc.com. Talk to Brad, Dean, Amanda will get you taken care of. We love them over there. They are your friends. They are on your team, hdlawsc.com. Smitty, it was morning when we last talked before we went to bed. It is still morning, and it's Friday, which means we will talk tonight, tomorrow morning. We'll be back on the air tomorrow. It's week two, man. We're here. Week two. And Gilbert gets it done at AC Flora last night, probably the story of the night across the state in terms of competitive games. You had a really good one that's going to pique a lot of interest with James Island and South Florence. 52-0 in the Jacket Bowl for me up here in the upstate, where Greer comes in and thumps Union County, a team that is trying to rebuild under first-year head coach Brian Robinson. So a lot happening across the state last night. We'll get to those scores in just a little bit, but as you mentioned, a jam-packed day. We have so much to try to squeeze in here to this hour with Derek Howard, our friend Chris Deering. We talked to Lee Smith, the president of the South Carolina Football Officials Association, this week. I'll mention this, too. As soon as we are off the air today, an exclusive interview with Northwestern quarterback Xavier Means up on our YouTube page. Spell it out, F-O-U-R, Four Quarter Friday. If you Google it, it'll show you. Yep. Our fourquarterfriday.com. It'll take you to the YouTube, the Spotify, the Apple Podcast, our X account, our Instagram account. I tested it yesterday. Four Quarter Friday, and Google's going to get you all of our stuff. Go to fourquarterfriday.com to read all of our thoughts and chop it up with us on the Varsity Club message board. Smitty, where are we going first?
All right.
It's the first quarter. Bill Maloney, Farm
That's
Bureau.
Right.
Where are we going first on this beautiful week two?
Okay, I'll tell you. So, we've got some big games, especially in the upstate. All right, so you've got Spartanburg-Greenwood tonight. You've got Abbeville-Strom Thurmond. You've got Dorman Burns happening. We'll have Cole Bryson join us on the Leading Edge guest line, bottom of this hour. But let's start here. Let's go Dutch Fork Ridgeview. And the reason I want to do that is because it's almost a rare treat. There is still, this is like a new relationship, because there's mystery, right? When you start dating someone, you don't know everything. Oh, she like movies? Like same movies I like? Huh? After you do the safe coffee and you get through some things, do our families have anything in common? I don't know what Dutch Fork and Ridgeview have. We know a little bit. We know Jackson Knotts, quarterback for Dutch Fork. We know Trey Howard, both coaches' sons. We know that he's back and going to be healthy this year. But these are two highly rated teams. As a matter of fact, Dutch Fork, not only are they the four-time defending state champions, they are number one in our rivals' composite rankings right now. But they're doing that on the strength of what's on paper and what they've done in the past. It remains to be seen who Dutch Fork is, who Ridgeview is. And I look back at that game from last year, 28-21 game between those two, Rob, Trey Howard wasn't available. He'd already been injured. He was on a scooter watching that game. Watch out, Dutch Fork fans. The Blazers are talented. They're hungry. We don't know what either one of them have because we haven't seen either one of them this season. But to me, I want to start there because this is almost, it's week two, but this is like Labor Day kickoff in college football. This is like the kickoff classic here. This is the Chick-fil-A kickoff classic for us because we haven't seen these two teams play.
Well, it's funny you should say that. It's actually sponsored by Bojangles, a huge event over there.
Oh, sorry, Bojangles.
Bojangles kickoff at Ridgeview. But, you know, we had the full interview with Derek Howard on our podcast channels and on YouTube. We'll get some clips here in just a second. But one thing that we don't have clipped that I will say he mentioned, View County. That's what they call it over there. And if you've been to Ridgeview and you've talked to Athletic Director Brian Rosefield or you've talked to any of the coaches that are on that staff over there, whether it's football or other sports, they are trying to create a scene, I'll say, an event, something that draws people, something that is unique and stands out. And you can just feel it pulsing. And the Bojangles kickoff over there between Dutch Fork and Ridgeview tonight, Smitty, it will be a scene. It will be a spectacle. And then they'll play football, and that will be that'll be quality as well. So we got a couple things here. Coach Howard commenting on the schedule, and one player that maybe it's easy to overlook as you look at that Ridgeview roster. Coach, so the schedule we mentioned there, right? It's difficult all the way around. Zero in on this week for me for just a moment. Big event coming up at Ridgeview on Friday night. Bojangles presenting the event, Dutch Fork coming to town, the number one team in the state, multiple defending state champions on that side of the sideline. All right, let's chop this up for just a minute on what he has to say about running back Spencer Bobian. You asked him this question.
Not throwing it, he'll be handing it to Spencer Bobian, who is going to become your school's all-time leading rusher this year. What can you tell us about him, and what's that moment going to be like for you, staff, and his family?
Man, I can't scream out loud enough how good of a football player Spencer Bobian is. And I understand that this state is blessed with a wealth of riches at the running back position this year, but we got a guy that can straight up tote the mail. And he hadn't been doing it out there running up against, you know, some cupcake teams. He's been getting it done year in and year out against some of the quality programs that are out here in the state. And, you know, we're just proud to have him on our team.
Smitty, you have a lot of names on that offense for Ridgeview. Trey Howard, you mentioned, obviously, is the quarterback. He's got weapons all around him. Christian Jackson, they bring in Isaiah Small, they bring in Kanye Reed, they bring in Caden Garvin. Weapons galore. Don't forget about Spencer Bobian on the cusp of becoming the leading rusher in Ridgeview history.
No, for me, because we talk about X factors oftentimes when we break down games, I think everybody knows at this point, if you're a high school football fan from the Midlands, you know Jackson Knotts and Trey Howard. The X factors might be the weaponry you just mentioned, Spencer Bobian, and then for Dutch Fork, how about Malik Miller coming over from Irmo and a dual threat guy? Well, Dutch Fork used in the same way. This is someone in Malik Miller that can carry the football too on end arounds, reverses, just get him the football. He scored 9 touchdowns on the ground and caught 10. 19 combined touchdowns. Would Dutch Fork do the same thing with him?
You know, I think Dutch Fork has the potential to do that. He brings his brother, Corey Miller, over from Irmo as well. A young 2029 talent who has almost 40 offers. Most of those are Power 4, by the way. He's got the size as a freshman. And I think that when you look at the talent here, obviously you look across Dutch Fork's roster, the number one in the composite. That puts somehow or another Ridgeview in an underdog mentality. I've got one more here from Derek Howard finishing up that thought process on what it's like to play against them.
Our reality, and I like playing tough games. You know, I like going into a game and being the underdog. And I think that's where growth happens. I think that's more fun. I think that playing teams that you know you're better than, quite honestly, it's hard to keep the kids engaged, you know, and it really gives a false sense of reality. So I don't know, guys. I mean, y'all are looking at other teams' schedules. I'm not looking at everybody's schedule, but here's the thing I see in 5A. Everybody's playing everybody because nobody else wants to play the 5A schools. So in order to go out here, I mean, you have to play each other, and there are only 35 5A schools. So if you're coming up with 10 games, what are the chances that you're going to have three or four guys that are top 10 teams? You probably are, you know, and so that's where we are.
There you go, Smitty. You know, I don't know who's producing this show today, but the first clip we played was just some guy with a hat on talking about the tough schedule. There was Derek Howard talking about the underdog mentality up against Dutch Fork, but not just Dutch Fork, because the schedule is not relenting for the Blazers. Big game, definitely one of the top in the state. Number two game according to matchups in the Rivals composite. We talked Spartanburg, Dorman and Burns being the number one game. And then, Smitty, don't forget, we've got Saturday games again this week. Rock Hill has moved a game with Ashley Ridge over to Saturday, but we had a pre-scheduled Saturday game at Bank of America Stadium, 4 p.m., Northwestern takes on Indian Land. That would be the number three game in the state this week. So we've got big-time matchups across the board. I'll take one moment here to say hello to our chat box. A lot of people over there getting it going. Our friend Meredith is here. Hello, Meredith. Good to see you.
Yeah.
And, of course, our man Harrison, who we owe our lives to. Harrison, thank you for being here as well. We're excited about week two. Smitty, any final thoughts there in the Midlands, or is it time to turn the page to what we saw last night?
All right. I'm going to do this almost rapid fire, though. Spencer Bobian, 53 yards last year in the loss to Dutch Fork. They focused, because Howard was injured, he was on a scooter, they were able to focus on Bobian. They won't be able to do that this time. They'll face them both. So I think the Dutch Fork defense has a much tougher task in 2026 than they did in 2025. Bobian's a senior. Trey Howard's out for revenge because he didn't get to play. You've got some weaponry that you haven't seen before. But Dutch Fork is probably even more talented than they were a year ago. It's hard to keep a straight face when I say that. Okay? But we've talked about it all offseason. Year of the running back. So Spencer Bobian in that game. Then start going down. Dorman Burns. Four big-time running backs in that game. Four cats that are going to play football, carry the football on Saturdays, are playing in the Burns-Dorman game, okay? You've got Nick Means. You've got Carter Nash, both for Dorman. Trey Segura. And who is the
Jacoby Fuller.
And Jacoby Fuller for Burns.
And look, you mentioned Dutch Fork and Ridge, you haven't played. Neither has Burns. They played four plays last week.
Neither has Burns, really. All that happened was they gave it to Segura and he went for a touchdown against Independence. That's all that happened.
Okay.
But we're not done. Spartanburg plays Greenwood. Greenwood's defense looked like a vintage Greenwood defense last week, but now they face Trenton Lynch, who is 744 yards from breaking Spartan High's all-time school record for rushing. Everybody keep your eye on
Trenton Lynch. That's a laundry list of backs in case anybody has been asleep for the past 40 years.
He went for 290 last week in a loss against Gaffney.
290, folks. That's almost 300 yards.
Like a Marshall Faulk game. But we're not done, because a physical Hillcrest club is hosting Somerville at Serene Stadium, historic venue. Now, look, Hillcrest doesn't have its turf together, so that's a problem. But look at what happens. Now you get the program that produces, you know, the program of John McKissick and 12 state championships going to Serene Stadium. So that Somerville road uniform against that backdrop, I love it. Hillcrest's physical size up front against Javen Williams from Somerville. And you know, Ian Rafferty, head coach for Somerville, he told us straight up he wants to run the football. So there's another super talented running back. I don't know who I'm forgetting in those top games, but I'll tell you this, we'll spin it to last night. We'll take a break and we'll spin it to last night. I saw a cat go for 214 last night. This is Four Quarter Friday, but at Four Quarter Friday now in the state of South Carolina, that includes Thursdays and Saturdays. So let's go over what happened last night. We'll get to Rob in just a moment. Unfortunately, we don't have great things to say about what happened with Union County and Greer, but good for Greer getting a 52-0 win. I was able to get on the sideline and see James Island, who is a well-oiled machine, take care of South Florence 34-14. And I'll tell you what's really fun about James Island. And by the way, there you go. There is Sam Crumpton catching a touchdown pass from Brady Dantzler there. And that is the surgeon, Brady Dantzler, throwing to the safety net, Sam Crumpton. These are nicknames given by the PA announcer at James Island. I was not aware of this, so we've got some James Island fans, I'm sure, that were aware of this or you've ever been to a game there. So, all the nicknames. You've got the law firm out there. Here's Brady Dantzler, again, the surgeon running for a touchdown. This James Island offense is a machine. And I got to see them in person last night. But you've got the weapon in the backfield, Mikael Worthen, who went for 214 yards last night on just 16 carries. You've got the Orange Crush defense. You've got RPO out there. Wide receiver. I need to have this name up, however.
You got the nicknames. We need a chart, Smitty. We need a chart.
Everybody has a nickname except for, all right, now you can play our freshman for us. Everybody has a nickname for James Island except this one, Tyus Faber. Look at that move. Look at that stride. All right, he's a freshman.
Let's give it one more time, folks, so you can see.
So he doesn't have a nickname. There's the surgeon throwing to Faber.
And that was a surgical throw, wasn't it? Just nearly avoids the defensive back.
Look,
breaking
the nicknames
on the football.
Are good. The nicknames are good. You've got the Master Lock on defense. One of James Island's defenders is also called the Master Lock. So here we go. We want the chat involved in this too. And we can carry this over to the message board. Jamar McCoy's already blessed this. So the head coach for James Island. He gave me the LOL when I told him we're going to go ahead and give Tyus Faber a nickname today. So you got the surgeon throwing, you got the safety net, you have the weapon in the backfield, Mikael Worthen. You've got the Master Lock on defense. You have the full Orange Crush defense. You have the law firm out there, RPO catching passes. I'm saying a freshman. Is he the phenom? Is he the thoroughbred? Is he the natural?
You got him all, Smitty.
What is Tyus Faber?
Thoroughbred really sticks out to me because when I saw the size for a freshman, the long strides, the ability to break away. He had the quickness, but he's got that length that I think reminds you of those long thoroughbred strides. I like it. The chat box can let us know what they think as well. Been very active over there today. Lots of people in here with some questions maybe for us to address later on, Smitty.
Okay, let me address one from last night that we got on X. What's wrong with South Florence? Let's do that quickly. South Florence is 0-2. They have a big-time, you know, tools guy, Derek Davis, throwing the football. And a lot of those clips are out there on X if you go to @4QuarterSC. And he looks good still throwing the football. He also punts for South Florence, by the way. I think they are a team that's going to come together offensively around Davis long-term. Once they know, you know, new head coach Scott Braswell, once he knows exactly how he wants to use Davis, the receivers and Davis didn't seem to gel, weren't quite on the same page. The run game didn't get going. But James Island is a good team. James Island's going to play late in November. I think we all saw that coming. We can agree it. They've got a veteran team, except for Tyus Faber, the thoroughbred. Everybody else is a veteran. They've got a lot of players who have been there before, and their head coach was suspended for the first two games for practice violations, and now Jamar McCoy is going to be back for week 3. But South Florence really struggled to tackle in space, and you just saw that there. You saw that. But it's a good James Island team. I'm not ready to bury South Florence. I think they get better in the next part of the season. All right, now, with that as the backdrop, Rob, you tell me about other games, other things that caught your attention from last night, so we make sure we get that out there, because it's not just Friday night games this week. We've got big Thursday night games.
Yeah, let's just do a quick score rundown, because there wasn't a ton going on last night, and I'm going to work my way up. A couple of games, here's a few that were scheduled for Thursday, moved to Thursday, and now they're going to play on Friday again. Louisville at Sherrall postponed from last night to tonight at 7. Whale Branch and Buford did the same. So we'll see those teams again tonight. Andrew Jackson beat North Central 19-6. We mentioned Greer over Union County 52-0. They have a running back named McCoy, who we all knew about. Xavier Samet is a sophomore quarterback for the Greer Yellow Jackets. Remember that name, Xavier Samet. He came onto the scene last week and kind of caught some eyes. He had another follow-up performance for Greer last night against Union County. 6 turnovers for the Jackets in that win. Let's see. In the Lowcountry, C.A. Johnson goes down and beats Bethune-Bowman 52-0. You mentioned James Allen, 34-14 over South Florence. In the CSRA, Silver Bluff, 32-14 over Fox Creek. The PD Grand Strand was the most active area of the night, of the night, Smitty. West Florence, 49-38 over Hartsville. Hanahan comes over to King Street, 48-20. Hanahan's 2-0. Latta, 42-21 over Chesterfield. Lawrence Manning, 24-6 over East Clarendon. North Myrtle Beach and Perry Woolbright now 2-0, 24-17 over Darlington. Wilson gets it done, 21-0 over Hampton County. And then here's one I want to talk about really, really quick. OW wins against Stahl 42-0. And then we look in the Midlands. Blythewood 32-8 over Richland Northeast. And Gilbert 24-14 over AC Flora. Now Gilbert 2-0, Nation Forward win in week one, comes in and beats Willie Offord and makes that Flora Falcon team 1-1. Gilbert looked to the part. We know there's a lot of talent on this Flora team. So definitely Ozzie Exum has a squad that we need to talk about. And then Blythewood 32-8, Richland Northeast pummeled Spring Valley last week. DeMarcus Simons talked his talk in the post game and was really hyped up to get his first win at a high level coming out of Eau Claire last year. And Blythewood handled business. Blythewood now 1-1, couldn't get it done in week one, but comes out and just lays it down against Richland Northeast. A couple of Midlands games, I think, that really grabbed some attention there, Smitty. Maybe Blythewood, the surprise of the night. And not necessarily that they won, but in the fashion that they did. Gilbert, AC Flora, probably the most competitive game of the night.
AC Flora was ranked 10th in our rivals composite going in to the week.
Correct.
So that is a big-time feather in the cap of Gilbert. And look, we didn't think it would be smooth sailing all the way for Willie Offord in his first year at AC Flora. It's just not that easy. Yes, they're talented. Yes, he's a good football coach. You bring those two things together, it's a little bit like what we've talked about with Victor Floyd and White Knoll.
Yep.
You know, we thought that team was ready to win. He's obviously a championship level coach, but how quickly can it all come together?
Yeah, it's interesting. How quickly can it all come together? Because we've mentioned time and time again that they did lose some players to transfers, hit hard in graduation. The one that sticks out last night, Brennan Williams, defensive lineman, maybe their best defensive player, definitely their best defensive player in the week one win against White Knoll, was out last night due to an injury. So the question then comes up, how long will he be out? Injuries are going to be a talking point that maybe has flown under the radar for us early here, Smitty. Obviously, bumps and bruises, banged up in week one, guys, first time playing, we'll call it real football, actually getting hit and hitting other people. Franklin Richardson at Sumter is going to be one as we turn the tables to look for what's happening tonight on the major slate. How long is he out for Sumter with that ankle injury that he sustained last week against Somerville? I think that will be one of the injuries around the state that we need to pay close attention to as we look at the matchups that we have on Friday night.
No, that's without question. And Got some good comments here in the chat box. Harrison asked, he said, look, I'll be curious to get any intel tonight on how the matchup between Dutch Fork defensive lineman Jaden Wirth and Ridgeview offensive lineman James Ross goes. Matchup of South Carolina and Clemson commits as well. You're right on, Harrison. So James Ross, who will be blocking for Spencer Bobian, Ridgeview, protecting Trey Howard. He's a South Carolina commit, and he'll be trying to keep Jaden Wirth out of the backfield. And nobody's been able to do that, essentially. So we'll see how that matchup goes. But, yes, that's a great, great point. And I think that's what's going to make that one a lot of fun, Rob, is we talked about it, high-flying Malik Miller and others. You know, you just got talent everywhere on the outside for both teams and then two good trigger men as quarterbacks. But it might just be as much fun to watch the trenches, yep. Dutch Fork and Ridgeview. So,
you know, no doubt about it. I mean, you have that matchup that Harrison mentioned between Ross and Wirth on one side. But then if Ross draws the assignment of blocking Wirth, you got Peyton Bishop coming off the other edge for Dutch Fork. Some of these offensive linemen, young and inexperienced, talented, but unproven for Ridgeview, what happens on the other edge? You know, maybe if James Ross can protect Trey Howard's blind side, you're still going to have Peyton Bishop coming at you on the other side of the field. So, yeah, it does create some issues. I think the trenches are probably the primary place to fix your eyes tonight if you are a football fan and you're going to go out to View County.
All right, we will go to the upstate now where there are a host of big games. You've got Spartanburg and Greenwood playing each other. You've got Somerville making the trip all the way up to Hillcrest to play up there at Serene Stadium. And then you've got the spotlight tonight, Burns-Dorman. We will take a break. When we come back, Cole Bryson, play-by-play broadcaster and host of Wire to Wire on the Fan Upstate, joins us to preview the Rebels and the Cavaliers. That's next on Four Quarter Friday. Hey, Matt Smith, Rob Williams with you here. We are going to bring in the master of the mic on Friday nights, Cole Bryson, host of Wire to Wire with Cole Bryson, caddy to Diesel when he plays golf on Saturdays, and of course, the voice of the Burns Rebels every Friday night during football season. Cole, what's that? Looks like you're on the way to the golf course now. You fishing?
Man, I wish I was. No, I'm in the big city of Landrum right now. No, a little bit of work. Some people have to work for a living, Smitty.
Huh, yeah. Tell me about it. Me and you, man. Me and you. I love Landrum. We were talking about Landrum. We got a message board, the Varsity Club message board. We were just talking about Landrum. Side Street Pizza, the Drake House up there, everything, the Hare and the Hound.
I was going to say, if you leave out the Hare and the Hound, I'm going to be upset.
They still do free popcorn. They do, but let me correct you on one thing. Side Street, that's Tryon. So, I mean, if we're going to say it, let's make sure we get it right here, Smitty. Tryon Side Street.
Oh, that's true. Because this conversation started with Landrum was the last place you hit before you could get beer on Sundays back in the 90s. You were on your way to Tryon. That's right. You were on your way to Tryon.
Gotcha.
But anybody that lives in the western part, anybody that lives in Spartanburg County, like Tryon, Landrum, all that, that's like neighbor. That's like the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Just up the road. All that. All right. Anyway, Cole, huge game tonight, man. There's actually a lot going on. The bad part about your job tonight is you can't see Spartanburg Greenwood. You can't go up. I guess you could go up to Charlotte on a Saturday, but there's a lot that you can't do. But, hey, you might have the best game in the state in Dorman and Burns, which are two teams that they're historic rivals, but they are also – and they've got coaches that are good friends. And you just have this year maybe as much as in the last 5 or 6 years – talent everywhere for both those teams.
You do. And you know, the first thing I want to say, Rob, Smitty, is that regardless of what these rankings and polls say, if there were a Vegas line on this game tonight, I think Dorman would be favored in this game. And I know the high school football media poll that I vote in, it has Burns ahead of Dorman. In no world should that be the case. Again, rankings are just that. They're rankings, right? And nowadays, everybody has rankings. There are rankings everywhere. Dorman won this game last year. Dorman did lose a few players, but they bring back a strong nucleus. And I'm just setting the record straight saying that, in my opinion, Dorman should be favored in this game. Of course, Burns still has a ton of tremendous talent, as you just mentioned and alluded to, Smitty, but Dorman won this game last year, and Dorman has no reason to be ranked underneath Burns if we're going back to these rankings that I don't put a ton of stock into, but I just wanted to get that out there because I've seen that all over social media this week that, you know, Burns is 2 and Dorman's 3. I don't think that's accurate in any way, shape, or form.
Cole, when you look at these teams, there's going to be a ton of discussion about the skill talent. I want to look at the line of scrimmage for just a minute. What do you think makes the biggest difference there? As we obviously got a look at Dorman last week against Hillcrest. All we've heard about Hillcrest all offseason, all preseason, and then even last week in week one was they are solid up front. Both lines of scrimmage are really, really good. We got a chance to see Dorman against them. We don't really know, like, in terms of what Burns is going to look like this year. We said it a minute ago. A big game in the Midlands, Dutch Fork Ridgeview, didn't play a game in week one. Burns effectively didn't play a game in week one either. No. There's not a lot of tape. There's a handful of plays, a Trace Aguero touchdown, and that's all she wrote. What is your take on what happens up front in the trenches in this one?
Well, it's everything. I mean, it's everything. And that's why I think Dorman on paper has the advantage because of what they have, not only on the offensive line, but also on the defensive line, Rob. I think when you look at this matchup on paper, and again, I know the games aren't played on paper, but I just think Dorman has a better line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. And when you look at big-time games like this, these games come down to one-on-one matchups. That's where they're won. They're won in the one-on-one matchups. And I think Dorman has the guys offensively and defensively on both lines of scrimmages to impact the game. You mentioned Hillcrest last week. I got to get over there and watch the second half of that game. Even with Hillcrest's offensive line, it's a good offensive line, Dorman was still able to elude and get to Jackson free and push him out and make him uncomfortable. I think the offensive line for Burns, Rob, and the defensive line for Dorman is going to be key tonight to see how much pressure Dorman can get on Burns. And then that goes to the quarterback, right? That goes to the running back because you've got to get out in space. You've got to get your playmakers in space if you're Burns. But if you're Burns also in the quarterback sense, you've got two guys at quarterback and Walker Burdett and Gideon Marib. Well, guess what? One of them is a runner. One of them is not a runner. So in a game like tonight against Dorman, who could bring a lot of pressure and make life uncomfortable up front, I think it's going to be interesting to see who gets the nod at critical points in the game when a play needs to be made, which quarterback's out there. I think the quarterback that's out there is going to depend on how the offensive line's holding up.
I think that's so fascinating, Cole, and because the other matchups we talk about across the state, the headliners are quarterbacks. That's not the case in this game at all. You mentioned Burdett and Marib coming in, trying to battle for playing time with Burns and Cooper Patterson, a new starter at Dorman. The stars are elsewhere in this game. There's also a star on the sideline. I know there was just a handful of plays last week between Burns and Independence, but maybe you got some background and intel. What do you know about Shuler Bentley now coming in to call plays for Burns? What will change? What will it look like? What do you expect? This is kind of his first big test, too, as a play caller at Burns.
Huge test, right? Going against Wade Cooper, longtime defensive coordinator at Dorman. I mean, this is a huge test. I think it's the toughest test you could have in your, to Rob's point, first game, right? Because it essentially is their first game. You know, what I love about Shuler is he has been in a lot of different systems offensively, whether it's his high school playing days, college playing days, or college coaching days, or high school coaching days. He has been in a lot of different systems, and he has been able to blend those systems together, Smitty, and I think he brings a unique perspective. Obviously, throughout the course of the season and his tenure at Burns, you're going to see a lot of high-powered offense and what he did when he was at Burns, but I think you're also going to see things that maybe aren't familiar to the old Burns HPO, like a two-back set. Jacoby Fuller's too good of a running back not to have on the field. Jacoby Fuller would probably start at running back at 98% of the other high schools in the state. So you've got Trace Aguero and Jacoby Fuller. Well, what do you do? I think you'll see both tonight. I think you'll see both this season, two-back sets. I like the blend. I like the experience he has. And his first season, to your point, Smitty, it is a first tough game to go against Dorman. But at the same time, he's got Chu Harris. He's got Nick Watson. He's got Mason Stevens, Trace Aguero, Jacoby Fuller. He's got a lot of weapons at his disposal in his very first full game, hopefully, tonight against Dorman.
Okay, Cole, flip that around because that was an excellent preview of what that Burns offense looks like against the Dorman defense. What if we look at the other side? Obviously, we saw what Nick Means was able to do against Hillcrest last week. Oof. Carter Nash is nothing to dismiss either, and they've got weapons around also. What do you make of this Burns defense trying to defend the Cavaliers when they get out there tonight?
Oh, I think that's where you look at – that's the matchup you look at, Rob, and you think, there's some worry there. You've got nine guys that were graduating in 2026 in the spring that were on this Burns defense. You lost nine guys from this Burns defense. So you have a lot of youth. And Coach Frederick Cross, the defensive coordinator in his 14th season, he'll have the guys prepared throughout the course of the season. They always get better. He's one of the better defensive coordinators in the state, in my opinion. But again, you lose nine guys. You get 49 total reps during the preseason. 49 reps, guys, that's not even a full game. That's how many reps Burns got this preseason, including the few limited reps they got on Friday against Independence. So talking to Coach Shaw and Coach Cross both this morning, it's like, hey, you know, we trust what we do, but at the same time, guys, you know, in a first game, you're going to make mistakes. It's the first game of the season. And when you have that much youth on defense, there's a good chance that youth is going to show up early in the season. And unfortunately, you're playing Dorman. And you know, when you do make mistakes against Dorman, they can make you pay. You mentioned those two running backs, Means and Nash. Those are as good a running back stables in the state, in my opinion. I mean, those guys don't get talked about near enough, especially Nick Means, number one. He is – I know he's a smaller running back, but if you watch this dude in high school, he's one of the best high school running backs you've ever seen. He is just so elusive. He's a fantastic running back. And that Dorman offensive line, it's huge. Michael Lancaster does a tremendous job with that offensive line at Dorman. And they're always going to be sound. They're always going to be big and physical. And Nick Means, and when you compare him or when you combo him with that offensive line, it doesn't matter what defense you play. You saw Hillcrest had a good defense last week. Dorman put up 40 last week, right? And threw the ball, what, eight times, nine times? So Nick Means is as good as it gets, guys. That kid is special, and I think that's right there. I know I said the offensive line for Burns earlier is going to be where the game's won, but this offense for Dorman and the defense for Burns, it's a huge matchup to watch tonight.
Can I follow up there just really quick, Smitty? You know, you mentioned we mentioned the lines of scrimmage there and the youth on Burns' defense. How important is Emerson James in this game as kind of the last stop, as a guy that's got some experience that's going to be back there that can kind of roam around and maybe erase a few things that might get missed up front?
Well, you know what's interesting about the secondary with Emerson James and Aiden Wiggins, the Auburn commit, you've got guys who are capable of doing different assignments on that defense. Now, here's what worries you. And you saw this last week at Hillcrest, or against Hillcrest. You saw this happen in the third quarter. You know, it's kind of like playing against T.O. Hanna, right? They lull you to sleep. Dorman does. They had a 12-play drive last week, guys. 12-play drive that ended in six. By the way, that's death by 1,000 paper cuts. Like, that is the most frustrating thing on earth, right? So Dorman, when you go to that Burns secondary, Dorman does so many things well with their ground game that if your eyes are on that ground game the entirety of the game, guess what? They're going to get you. And Cooper Patterson doesn't throw the ball a lot. Jason Farmer, the offensive coordinator, he'll tell you they don't want to throw it a lot. But Cooper Patterson, last week, y'all saw it. There was one busted coverage play where I think Rob, Smitty, you and I, we could all made that reception for a touchdown, because when your eyes are in the backfield, guess what happens? Bam, you forget about that guy running free to the end zone. So I think the secondary is super important tonight. You have to be really disciplined tonight. And the discipline tonight for the secondary for Burns with Aiden Wiggins and Emerson James, it's going to be important. If they can somehow turn Cooper Patterson over once or twice, obviously that's a big boost in Burns' favor. But it's about discipline tonight, guys.
Cole Bryson, you can hear his call tonight, by the way, the Chiefs Sports app. We've got that. We get you there. You go to the Chiefs Sports app, we will link you to Cole Bryson's call of Burns and Dorman. He's shopping for Amish Furniture in Landrum, and we'll get an update on that. Also, Wire to Wire, I'll be jumping on with you later today on your show on the Fan Upstate. So, final question. Trey Segura, I know the numbers, but I'm way down here. You know, I'm 4+ hours away from Trey Segura right now. I have not gotten to be on the sideline and watch him play. Tell me about him, like from a scout's perspective, what is it that he does that is so good? I know the numbers, I've seen the highlights, but tell me about him as a player and why he's special.
Well, just don't blink. You know, don't blink. That's the best advice I'd give you, Smitty, because if you blink, you might miss him. And I don't mean that like track speed. Of course, he's very fast, but he's a complete running back, man. He broke off that 53-yarder last week, and Lane Fowler and I looked at each other. He does my color commentary. We looked at each other in the commercial break and said, my gosh, he looks better than he did last year. And he just looks like a college running back out there amongst boys at times. And what makes him so special, Smitty, to answer your question, I think he has all of the tools every running back dreams of having. You've got scat backs, right? You've got power backs. Every running back's different. I'm not saying that Trey Segura is the perfect running back, the best running back to ever touch a football, because he's certainly not. But I think he has tools and his vision, and he's also a student of the game. He has a lot of tools that allow him to do multiple things, whether it's running between the tackles, getting out in space, recognizing the coverage of the defense. Last week when he cut to the left on that big 53-play touchdown, guys, he put his foot in the ground, made a cut to the left, and you can just forget it at that point. If Trey Segura gets into space, it's going to be a long night for you. And I think what makes him special, Smitty, is just his ability to be versatile. He's not a scat back. He's not just a power back. You don't bring him in on just third and two. You know what I mean? He's able to do so many different things, and he's able to do so many different things so well. And the last thing I'll say is he's worked so hard. Like, that kid, his parents are great parents. He has worked his tail off. He's not just the talented kid that got lucky. He has put in so much work, man. And I think he's going to have a successful college career, hopefully a professional career one day as well. But in terms of high school backs, we've all seen a lot of really good backs. He's up there. I mean, he's just that special. And going back to tonight's matchup against Dorman or any matchup, when you have number three back there, if he's healthy, which he is tonight, you got a chance.
Oh, Cole, thank you, man. We will let you get back to it. And we'll definitely be listening tonight. Want to hear you. And of course, my brother, Alex, is going to be on the Dorman side. You'll get to see him tonight. So it's going to be friendly rivalry tonight. A lot of friends getting together for this rivalry game. Cole, thanks, man. And we'll encourage everybody to get to your show and get to your call tonight.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate what you do.
That is Cole Bryson, wire to wire on the Fan Upstate. And then, of course, voice of the Burns Rebels. You mentioned Lane Fowler does those games with him, basketball coach. All right. We got to get Rob's thoughts on tonight's games. We've got some really good comments in the chat as well. I know. We want to try to get to some of what Chris Deering had to say, where he's going to be, writer for Prep Red Zone. We'll do all of that in our last segment, fourth quarter. Coming up next here on Four Quarter Friday, presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Four Quarter Friday. Subscribe to fourquarterfriday.com. Proudly presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association.
Our thanks to Cole Bryson for joining us. And if you miss any part of what we're doing on Four Quarter Friday, be sure. To jump on Apple, Spotify, and be a part of things at YouTube. You can really link to it all if you just go to fourquarterfriday.com, and that's where you're going to find a lot of the previews that we do. We've got previews of all of these games, by the way, and we couldn't do it without the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. I want to remind everybody that is in the coaching profession that's just checking this out, get your Touchstone Energy North South and Shrine Bowl nominations in by September 18th. Want to make sure that we recognize all these players. And September 18th, as you coaches know, is going to come up fast. And that's a discussion we're going to have on the message boards as well, is maybe who's emerged this year that needs recognition, needs to be in that North-South game, needs to be in the Shrine Bowl at the end of the season. Rob Smitty in the HD Law Studios, and our thanks to Cole Bryson joining us on the Leading Edge guest line.
Yeah, Smitty, let's go here. I want to mention a few games tonight. Chris Deering was with us earlier this week. Again, we've got these all throughout the week. Xavier Means, quarterback Northwestern, drops in 9 minutes as soon as we get off the air. I want to let you hear about where Chris Deering is going and what he's looking at, and then we'll jump off from there.
And to be perfectly honest, he is the reason I'm going. I've not put eyes on him. I did not see Fairfield Central last year. And I've heard a lot of great things about the Shannon kid. I've watched a lot of his huddle stuff. He looks fantastic. And, you know, what we do at Prep Red Zone is we rate players and rank players. And I want excuse me. I want to put my eyes on him and see what he does in a football setting. You know, we've seen him in combines and how he does there. I want to see him in a football setting and see what he does on the field. So he is the main reason I've picked that game, you know, in the preseason to go to Fairfield.
Chester at Fairfield Central will be Chris Deering's spot tonight. Tyquarius Shannon, electric wide receiver, is his reason for going over there. Don't forget about Feaster in the backfield for Chester. It could be a matchup there, Smitty, where even in a loss last week for Chester, Feaster still went over 200 yards. So you have an opportunity to run the ball if you're the Cyclones, maybe, and then get the ball in the hands of Tyquarius Shannon however you can if you're the Griffins to kind of get it going on that side of the ball. I'll highlight a couple more, and then we'll go back to Chris Deering here. Strom Thurmond at Abbeville, a matchup of one Class A, 2A champs over there. Going to be a huge one tonight, Smitty. Lawrence and Clinton, the old rivalry right there in town.
Clinton, they don't like each other.
Clinton
looks
good. Greg Porter's getting it going at Lawrence. That one is definitely one to keep your eyes on. You mentioned Spartanburg and Greenville, Somerville, Hillcrest. Gaffney comes over to JL Mann. It'll be one of many trips to Greenville County for Gaffney this year, as their entire region is now over in Greenville County. This one, obviously, a non-region matchup to keep your eye on over there. Fountain Inn is at Woodruff, Smitty. Two teams that we were able to see, or I was able to see, at the McDonald's Kickoff Classic there in Woodruff a couple weeks ago. And Sam Holliday and Fountain Inn are going to be a problem for a lot of teams this year. Connor Davis threw for, I think, 17 touchdowns last week and about 2,500 yards in the first game. It just went off. Yeah, four touchdowns in all seriousness. Mekhi McClintock, Curtis Bell, the weapons outside for them. How much does the Woodruff offense slow down without Aiden Gibson? Well, it looks like they just took off through the air, Smitty, in week one. So definitely something to watch in that one. We mentioned Northwestern Indianland as a Saturday matchup for you. Rock Hill and Ashley Ridge now 1 o'clock. So you can do a 1 o'clock Ashley Ridge at Rock Hill, followed by 4 o'clock Northwestern Indianland across the state line at Bank of America. Definitely something to keep your eyes on over there. Okay, I saw this question in the chat box earlier. You got the rivalry game between Camden and Lugoff Elgin this week as well, Smitty. Come on.
All right, Lugoff Elgin is one of those teams I told you before the season began, underrated. They have got some speed. The Demons have some speed. I like Lugoff Elgin. And, of course, I love Camden. Camden made a statement with a week one victory over Dillon. We'll see if Dillon rebounds in their game with Myrtle Beach. I suspect they will. I know we haven't made a lot of picks. Maybe we could do that. What I would like to do is maybe we do, just as we close out here, mention some of the Massey predictions, which you can find through fourquarterfriday.com, because I think there's some that are a little bit off. There's some that are a little bit off. You want to play that game?
Let's play. Throw them up to me. Let's see if I can hit them.
All right. So Dutch Fork is predicted by the Massey ratings, which is, you know, a computer formula. So you go to fourquarterfriday.com. You can link through it through Rivals. This is, you know, an on-3 proprietary formula. Dutch Fork 38, Ridgeview 14.
I don't think it's that wide of a gap.
Me either. Give me that. Give me Ridgeview plus those points.
Absolutely. If I have to pick this game, I would probably go with Dutch Fork, but not by that wide of a margin, especially not at Ridgeview.
Cole Bryson joined us, and he said he thought Dorman should be favored, should be ranked ahead of Burns. Mm-hmm. The Massey formula has Dorman winning 27-21, which I think might be right on.
That one sounds right to me. Yeah.
That's hard to argue with.
That's the type of thing that I'm looking for. You know, the question, I think the front for Dorman, I think, is really, really good. Obviously, James Porter, who we have covered through the offseason up front for them. Some contacts have told me that he's the best defensive lineman in the state of South Carolina in this class. He's just undersized, but he's, you know, going to East Carolina. He's got a lot of talent up front, and he's not the only one. Can they bottle up Segura and Fuller all night long? And Cole made a great point. Who is going to be the quarterback in these critical moments? Are you going to put Walker Burdett in there and try to sling it around a little bit if you're Shuler Bentley? Or does this become a three-headed rushing attack with Gideon Marib, Jacoby Fuller, and Trey Segura, and you got to figure out which one of the three you're going to stop? You know, and then he has the ability to sling it a little bit if he needs to as well. That might be where I would go, but I'm not Shuler Bentley. We'll have to tune in for the game tonight and see how it goes.
You know Shuler Bentley wants to throw it a little bit.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine Bentley saying, well, I've just decided I'm going triple option this year.
He's got too many weapons on the ground to be pass happy, but he does want to throw it, no doubt.
Yeah. That he leans that way. He leans that way. He rolls out of bed and he's already probably jotting pass plays down on a cocktail napkin. All right, one more from the Massey ratings. Go to fourquarterfriday.com. You can link to all of these. The predictions. Spartanburg 28, Greenwood 27.
I don't know what to make of these teams yet, okay? We talked to Mark Hodge this week, head coach at Spartanburg. He said discipline was a major key. 40-plus penalties in the Spartanburg-Gaffney matchup last week. Before the fourth quarter, Smitty, there were a lot of penalties in the game. If Spartanburg cleans that up, just keep in mind, Trenton Lynch went for 290 in spite of all the penalties. Yeah. If Spartanburg cleans it up, what does that do for them against Greenwood? Obviously, Greenwood took care of business against Riverside last week. Greenwood is inexperienced and young at the skill positions, but they brought back their lines of scrimmage. So it's still early enough in the season where line of scrimmage may hold up, but how much weight can be put on the shoulders of those skill positions? That's the question for me as Chris Liner gets ready to host the Vikings this week. Phenomenal matchup. And I would be hard-pressed to say that I don't agree with a one-point margin at this point.
Me too. I'm leaning Spartanburg. I think Spartanburg high bounces back. I think perhaps Gaffney was better up front than we suspected, but maybe. The fact that even they couldn't stop Trenton Lynch. I mean, 290. Like, you're tired. Like, you're just tired from running. He ran for 290 yards. He went back and forth up the field three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch out.
Contact. The thing about Trenton Lynch is the yards after contact for me. It's just hard to bring him down.
Listen, follow us tonight at Four Quarter SC on X. We can chop all of this up together. We can get on the message boards together, on the Varsity Club message board at fourquarterfriday.com, because we're going to have the answers to these questions late tonight. We're going to see that Burns dormant. We're going to see what happens with Spartanburg and Gaffney. We're going to see what happens with Ridgeview and Dutch Fork. We're going to see what happens with Somerville and Hillcrest. We can talk about all of this. And then, of course, all that leads to Saturday, Indian Land, Northwestern. Can't imagine Northwestern going 0-2, but Indian Land's good. And Matt Casilla is special, quarterback for Indian Land.
Yep, and we've already got some stuff that may be moving to Monday night, like you said, Smitty. So we may be in for a long weekend again. Everybody buckle up. And don't forget, we'll be back here tomorrow at 8 a.m. to recap everything that we see tonight.
Oh!
Join us on now, the second edition of Four Quarter Friday, on Saturday mornings to talk about Friday nights.
Yeah, maybe we'll come up with it.
Get your cup of coffee. Settle down in the HD Law Studios, hdlawsc.com. We'll have correspondents back on the Leading Edge guest line. And, of course, always presented by the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. We are here for you, with you, to give you the latest on what's happening across high school sports. It's football season, folks. Week 2, Smitty.
Yes, and we're rolling. So, hey, maybe we'll come up with a different name for that show. I don't know. I don't know how we'll brand that. What is the nickname we want to give the James Island freshman wide receiver, Tyus Faber? I threw out, you know, like the phenom, the natural. Rob jumped all over the thoroughbred. He said, nope, that's the one. That's the one. We'll put that out there, and then we're going to get that information to Jamar McCoy. I see you, by the way, James, in the chat, talking about James Island, and you're obviously right. James says if JI is going to achieve their goals, go all the way to state, they're going to have to clean up a ton of mental mistakes out there on that field, offsides on defense. You're right about that, James. They jumped several times. Derek Davis was using the hard count, but I think Jamar McCoy being back on the sidelines is going to help a lot of that. He's, you know, he was watching that. He was watching the stream. He knows what his team looked like. He actually sent me the same note this morning. I'll just give you this on the way out. Jamar McCoy said, we have to clean up the penalties. Monday's practice will help with that. Kids are playing great ball, executing their responsibilities at a high level. Yes, yes, yes.
Easy to correct mistakes. easier to correct mistakes when you're winning, Smitty. So hats off to the Trojans.
That's right. All right, we got to get out of here. Inside the Gamecocks is next. Rob and me and everybody will get back together on the message board, the Varsity Club, at fourquarterfriday.com. And then you can check out everything. Get to the YouTube page, get to the Apple and Spotify, get to our interviews with Chris Deering, and that interview with Xavier Means dropping right now. This is Four Quarter Friday.